Are you tired of feeling like you have no purpose? You don't know where you're going in life? You feel like maybe you need to find your destiny, you know? Maybe you need to find what you are made for. Why not embark on a journey? Right here on Food for Thought with Pastor Gavin and Pastor Vicky Anslin.
We've been looking at one block can change a nation. One block can change a nation. And we've been looking, it's been such a life-changing series for me, really, as we've looked at having pressure, that the pressure that can come from this world, pressure, and then the capacity to hold that pressure. And that is how we will live an empowered life. And if you look at Moses, talk about pressure and capacity. The pressure of the storm and the capacity that that boat would hold so that man could survive. And that really, that's how God wants us to live, this empowered life. And we have to learn to handle pressure. Some people can cope with pressure really well. Other people can't cope with pressure. If the bus is 10 minutes late, that's their 2019 year being destroyed. Now, I want you to think of it. How much more do people fall apart for money? Or for lack of money? And really, when Pastor Bert was here on the Saturday and he spoke about how God had come to him and said he doesn't have money and how he challenged him on his character. And for me, really, that was an absolute turning point. We cannot fall apart. We were created for far more than money. We were created for God. And God wants us to look at money and look at how Jesus spoke about money and how he challenged character, how he challenged stewardship with money. And we are looking at that. We are going into a series. And honestly, as a church, we don't spend the whole year looking at money. And Pastor Bert and his church has looked at money. And I listened to how long it took him to get into the introduction of speaking of money. Because in a church where you can take advantage of what you have and advantage of the people that are ministering, you can get offended by the fact that the pastor wants to teach on money when Jesus himself taught on money. And so we're going to go and look in the Old Testament because there is so much argument about what the Old Testament and what the New Testament has to say about money. And we're going to look at Malachi chapter 3 verse 6, and it starts by saying, "For I am the Lord, I do not change," which means God doesn't change what he said in the Old Testament versus what he said in the New Testament. And he's saying, "I remain faithful to the covenant." And then he goes on and says, "Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from the ordinances and have not kept them." And what he's saying here in the Message version, that's translated to, "You have a long history of ignoring my commands." That's what God is saying to his people. "You have a long history of ignoring my commands." And then he says, "Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, 'In what way shall we return? Will a man rob God?' Yet you've robbed me. But you say, 'In what way have we robbed you?' In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with the curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts." I don't know if you get there, how much God wants to bless us and how much he wants nations to look upon us as fruitful and blessed, but we cannot rob the Lord. And the very first thing God is saying is, return. You cannot return to God without returning with your money. And you see, that is the test. It's the ultimate test in all relationships. Look at the way you are with money, with your parents. Look at how you are with money with your children. Look at how you are with money in a relationship. And I'm going to challenge that one a little bit, because everyone likes to be generous with their money in the first year. But then, and so what do we do? Money is the test in every single relationship. Money is the test. And God wants to bless us. God wants to bless us. The money we have is cursed. I don't know if you realize that. The money that we have is cursed. Why? Because the ground was cursed when Adam sinned. And our money comes from the ground. Our toil, our work comes from the ground, and it is cursed. But God said, so in Genesis 3:17, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat it of it all the days of your life. But you see, if you don't give your tenth, that's... The rest will be blessed if we give our tenth. That's what God wants to do. He wants to bless the rest. But He wants us to be faithful with the tenth. And so God calls on us to bring our tithe. And think of it, 10% is too small a number to negatively affect you. But it's big enough to test you. It's too small a number to negatively affect who you are, what you're going to do, where you're going to go. But it's just big enough to test us. And so what does God want us to do? He's asking us, will we give? Because He will return by emptying out heaven. He will open up the windows of heaven, tilt heaven so that it can fall out, all the blessings can fall out onto us. God doesn't want to withhold His blessings from us. But the test is, will we bring to Him our tithe? And honestly, you know, in the beginning, and I'll share this, and Gavin asked me to open and he will continue. I'll just share a testimony. And for many of you, you would remember me saying this. We would have album recording. We would have lots of people come to album recording who were not from our church. Or we would have a carol service, and we would have lots of visitors that have come to visit us, or pastors from other churches. And it would be time to give. And I would say to, you know, this is what God calls us to do, and we are going to give now as a church. But then I would say this. I would say, if you are a visitor here today, don't panic, breathe in and breathe out, and you don't need to give. I will not say that anymore, because I have learned the blessing that comes from tithe, and the blessing it is to give to God. And I'm not going to be a people pleaser to go, oh, you don't need to give. You don't need to give. I'm not asking for the money. I'm not getting the money. The money is going into the storehouse. And it is God, it's God's ordinances to us to obey. And so I don't say that anymore. But I'm sure there are many of you who can remember me saying that. And now I have no fear of speaking in the church about money, because if you listen and obey, it is you that receives the blessing. And we want you to receive the blessing and the increase in your home. And that's why we would speak about money. And I want to say to you, if you came to the church, or we had a carol service or an album recording, and I said to you, you know, guys, sexual immorality is a sin. But if it's your first time here, you would think, what type of a pastor are you? Am I right or wrong? Why do we think differently with our money? If I said to you, it's your first time, yeah, if you sexually, you're a visitor, you go ahead, you would think, that's so unbiblical, I'm never coming back to this church. But exactly the same with our money. And so honestly, as we go into a time where we look at money, our aim, and we have testimonies in this church of people whose finances have gone to another level in the way they've handled their home, their budget, their savings, their tithe, because of the series that we've looked at with money. And that's God's plan. That's God's will for us, that we are blessed, we are increased in every way. And so, you know, when we speak of tithe, it's for increase. And then remember, He says, in your tithes and offerings. And offerings is when we're speaking about something like rent a chair, it's not your tithe, but it's your offering. And honestly, I would rather give to something where people's lives would be changed than to give to something where you have no clue where your money is going. into. There is so much corruption going on, and honestly, the money that comes into this church is fully accountable. The money that you're giving, you know, is accountable. And so honestly, I want to encourage you as we go further into the series that you may be blessed, and that God would actually just teach us together to go to a next level in understanding His Word. Amen.
Rapid Trade is passionate about mobility and solutions that make a difference in your business.
From mobile sales
and sales management to van sales and proof of delivery. For a demo, call Rapid Trade at 011-493-9755. Rapid Trade, ahead of the game.
We've been talking a lot about stress, because if you want to change a nation, you've got to be able to deal with stress. And today I want to talk to you about swapping stress with praise. And so the first thing, in order to swap your stress with praise, that you have to be able to do is to swap your burdens for the burden of Jesus. All right, and I want to ask you, what burdens are you carrying? As you're sitting here today, you are carrying burdens. And Jesus said this, and I'm reading from the NLT, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. It says, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. I wonder how many of us have come to church today, we're carrying heavy burdens. And he says, and I will give you rest. If you want rest, you don't need a holiday. You need to take your burdens to Jesus. If you take your burdens to Jesus, he will lighten them. And then he says, take my yoke upon you. And the yoke means what you're tired with. And so I'm asking you this morning, what is it that you're tired with? If you're tired with the love of the world, your burdens will be heavy. Your burdens will be painful. Or you can be tired with the burdens of Jesus. And so it says, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. Whatever you yoke to is your leader. You're a slave to it. You're working for it. And yet Jesus is saying, you want to work for me, because I am gentle in spirit. I am humble. And then he says, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. I want to ask you today, as you're sitting there thinking about this, what is the burden that you're carrying? Okay, do you feel like life's getting too much? In 1 John chapter 5 verse 3, it says, loving God means keeping His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. That's what it means to love God. Now, as you're sitting here today, I want you just to think about that for a second. What burdens are you carrying? Because if you're carrying the burdens of the world, the burdens of the world are hectic. The burdens of the world are burdensome. I really want you to think about people who get married. But they're getting married and their mindset is the world's mindset. And what ends up happening is that marriage becomes a burden. The thing that they thought would become such a blessing becomes a burden. I mean, I wonder how many people would acknowledge that their greatest burden came in their marriage or from the children. Children are supposed to be such a blessing. But if you know, if you're carrying the burden of the world, they become a burden. And Jesus says that loving God means keeping His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. In John chapter 4 verse 31 to 34, Jesus had been speaking to a Samaritan woman, and the disciples come back because they went to get him food. And it says, in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. All right, but he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore the disciples said to one another, because they're thinking in the world thinking, has anyone brought him anything to eat? So Jesus is talking about another kind of food. And these guys are here talking and they're saying, who brought him food to eat? And then Jesus answered and said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. To do the will of him who sent me. Okay? That is food to us. It's not a burden, it's food. It gives us energy. And then in Philippians 4 verse 8 and 9, verse 4 to 9, I'm actually just going to read verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Later on in verse 9, in verse 8, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So, first of all, you need to carry the burden of Jesus. And then the second point is the power of praise during the process of that increases capacity. I want to ask you another question. As you're thinking about which burden you're carrying, how much do you praise God? Psalm 8 verse 2 says, "You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you." Do you realize that when you praise God, this is what Psalm 8 verse 2 says, that you silence the enemy. And when you silence the enemy, you destroy the work of the enemy. Because where is the enemy's work in your life? The enemy's work in your life comes through the thoughts that he puts in your mind. When you silence him, you cut off the only thing that he has the power over you with. When you praise God, you chase the enemy away. I want you to think about your life, and I want you to think about those times where maybe you feel depressed, maybe you feel down, maybe you feel overwhelmed. In those times, it's a time when you start praising God with all of your might. You silence the voice of the enemy, and the demons from hell are afraid. They're afraid. You're praising God in the name of Jesus. They are scared. Psalm 68 verse 35 says, God is awesome in his sanctuary. Do you know that when you came to church here today, God is awesome in his sanctuary. The God of Israel gives power and strength to his people. Praise be to God. I want to be live a life that lifts me up and does not take me down. And Psalm 40 verse 6 says, sacrifice and offering you do not desire, nor do you delight in them. It doesn't help you come and you sacrifice everything. And if you come and you see your tithe as a sacrifice, you've missed the boat. It's not what he desires. Sacrifice and offering he does not desire, nor have delight in them. You have given me the capacity to hear and obey your law, a more valuable service than burnt offerings and sin offerings, which you do not require. You know what that's saying there? That God wants me to come and he wants me to obey his commands. It's a command of God for me to praise him. It's God's command for me to praise him. It's not like I'm doing God any favors when I come into the church. And so you need to live a life of praise where there's a praise that is always on your lips. And then we go further in Psalm 84, verse 5 to 7, where it talks about what joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord. Who are those whose strength comes from the Lord? It's those who praise God. Who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to the house of God. Who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to the place where God is. What joy there is for those people whose strength comes from the Lord. And then it says, when they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. I want you to think about that. You walk into the place of weeping and it becomes a place of refreshing springs. The autumn rains will clothe it with blessings. Normally in autumn, things are dying. And yeah, you're in an autumn time. You're in a place where there's challenges going on. And yet it's like springs that are coming up out of you. Making disciples continually brings more strength to your life. Because you know, when you're doing it out there and you're making disciples out there, you do it in your home. You do it with your children. You do it in your marriage. And it brings blessing. And Psalm 100 verse 1 to 5 says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Does all you lands include South Africa in 2019? Amen. Make a shout, a joyful shout, a shout full of joy. Sing to the Lord with gladness. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now listen to this. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. We don't deserve to spend all of eternity with him in heaven. But we're on our way there. Amen. Yeah. People think they're going to Pick and Pay is a blessing because you go to spend money. You know, many people, they go to Pick and Pay. They go to Checkers. Maybe they go to Woolworths. Oh no, I shop at Woolworths. Because they charge you 10 million rand for food that has been nuked. It's probably causing you cancer, you know, but they make it look healthy. Put some wood on the picture or something like that on the packaging, and they've got some like fresh vegetables and all sorts of stuff. But there's nuclear stuff inside there. Apples aren't that perfect. Go look at them on the tree. They aren't that perfect. And that's a blessing for many people. Here's the thing. You are called by God to live a thankful life. Do you know that if we're not thankful, we're sinning? No wonder you're depressed. You're not thankful. You know, you waited many years for that husband or that wife, and now you're not thankful. You call her the old bag. You call him the old wizard, the male witch. Okay, but you waited all this time for that person. And some of you are sitting there thinking, if only I had a person I could be thankful. Be thankful you still have your freedom. You're still single to mingle. Amen. That doesn't mean you go mingle with everyone. You wait for the one. You understand what I'm saying? All right. Amen. But you've got to be thankful. You've got to be thankful. You've got to be grateful. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. But how do you keep your praise pure? You keep your praise pure, and I just want to go through briefly something this morning. You keep your praise pure by your confession. How do you keep your confession pure? By confessing the blood of Jesus. And I really want you to write this down if you haven't before. And listen to me, when you go to life class and you go to destiny training, you start understanding this stuff at a whole nother level. And until you understand this stuff at a whole nother level, your life isn't going to be what it could be. Because everything that you have in life comes from the blood of Jesus. There's nothing, no blessing that you can have but by the blood of Jesus. And so the first confession that you should be saying every single day when you wake up, by the blood of Jesus, I am redeemed from the power of the enemy. And redeemed means I've been brought back out of the marketplace. The enemy no longer has a right to my life. The enemy no longer has a right to hold a curse over me. Those generational curses that are coming down the generations, they have no right. They cannot touch me in Jesus' name. When the curse comes to me, I'm like Teflon. It just slides right off and goes somewhere else into the abyss. Amen. The demons don't want to even touch me because they know that if they come to me and they touch me, they slide off and they go into the abyss. And no demon wants to go into the abyss. So they stay away. They say, no, watch him. No, just stay away from him. Stay away from her. The verse is Ephesians 1 verse 7. In him we have redemption through the blood of Jesus. The enemy no longer has any authority over your life. This is what you're confessing. He has no authority to mess with you. Oh, the devil's attacking me. The devil's attacking me. Really? Are you stupid or what? You know, so many Christians are going, the devil. No, the blood. I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I am redeemed. Come on. The enemy no longer has any right or authority over your life, not even over the things that belong to you. Oh, my TV broke. The devil's attacking me. No. God's allowed a trial into your life because he wants to grow your character. The devil has no right over your life, active church. The devil no longer can touch you. Now, this is the confession. By the blood of Jesus, I am redeemed from the power of the enemy. I have been rescued from the dominion of darkness and brought into the kingdom of Jesus, the Son of God. We're going to say this in a few moments. Okay? I've been rescued from the dominion of darkness. The dominion of the world is the dominion of darkness and brought into the kingdom of Jesus, the Son of God. Oh, you hurt me, so what? It's like Teflon, it just goes off. It just, oh, you gossiped about me, so what? Oh, I can't believe you said that. I can't believe you lied to me. Hey, the blood of Jesus just takes it right off. Just takes it right off. The second one, by the blood of Jesus, all my sins have been forgiven. Okay, that's like, my debt is paid. I'm granted relief. I was so bankrupt. I couldn't even think about even beginning to dream about money because even when I dreamt, I was bankrupt. And yet, the blood of Jesus granted me relief from this. And again, Ephesians 1 verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. Forgiveness. Now, what does this mean? We can relate freely and fully to God. Now that our sin and our debt have been removed out of the way. All my sin has been taken away. It is removed. It is removed. The confession is by the blood of Jesus, all my sins have been forgiven. Listen, there's some of you every morning, no, not some of you, there's all of you every morning, you need to get up and you need to confess. By the blood of Jesus, all my sins have been forgiven. Oh, no, but you don't know what I did last night. It doesn't say, depending on what you did last night. It says, by the blood of Jesus, all my sins have been forgiven. You come to God and you're praising Him for who He is. You're not praising yourself. You're crazy to praise yourself. You praise yourself and the next thing you burp and everyone smells your breath. Then what? Then what? Okay, there's nothing much to praise. But you can praise God, and it's based on the fact that you have a relationship with Him. Amen? Amen. By the blood of Jesus, all my sins are forgiven. The third one, the blood of Jesus cleanses me now and forever from all sin. It cleanses me. It rids me of impurities. It washes me clean. I remember when I was growing up, there used to be an advert for the washing powder called Surf. Super Blue Surf puts brightness on the line. Listen, if you use Super Blue Surf, you'll be dirty again. But the blood of Jesus cleanses me now and continually of all sin. Super Blue blood puts brightness on the line. Amen? Amen. The blood of Jesus. It cleanses me now and continually of all sin. Look at 1 John 1 verse 7. Now it says here, but if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I want you to think about this. You're in the world, right? So wherever you go out, guess what happens? There's dirty stuff. It's in the air. You don't have to speak to someone to get some dirty stuff on you. It's in the air. It's all around you. You're on the bus or in the taxi and you hear someone saying some words. You don't understand what I'm saying? It's dirty. It gets all on you. You're in the car. Someone cuts you off. It gets on you. Sometimes someone swears at you and maybe shows you a couple of choice signs with their fingers. It gets on you. Maybe you're watching an innocent TV program, could even be a Christian program, and the next thing an advert comes on, and let's just say it's less than holy, showing you things you shouldn't see. It gets on you. But the blood of Jesus continually cleanses me from all sin. But I want you to notice from that verse, in order for the confession to be effective, we need to live according to the word of God, and we need to be in fellowship with our brothers and sisters. And so the confession is this: because I walk in the light, in other words, I'm not scared to admit the issues that I have where my life contradicts the word. I'm willing to admit it. Because I walk in the light and have fellowship with other Christians, the blood of Jesus cleanses me now and continually from all sin. Now and continually. I'm continuously being cleansed. Continually, over and over again. It's like I'm on a spiritual dialysis and my blood is being replaced all the time with the blood of Jesus. And as contamination comes, I'm cleansed. As contamination comes, I'm cleansed. The fourth confession is, by the blood of Jesus, I am justified. I'm justified. I want you to think about what justification is. Justification is the act of God where He establishes a person in righteousness. In other words, He establishes them in a true and a right relationship with Himself. Just think about that. He justifies you. He places you in a right relationship with Him. What is the requirement for you to be in a right relationship with Him? You must never have sinned. I want everyone to look at me. Guys, I want you to look at me. I want you to listen to me. There's only one way to have a right relationship with God. You must never have sinned. You ever told a lie? Your mother said, did you steal that cookie? There's a crumb here on your lip? No, mommy, I didn't. Liar. Hell. That's it. It's over. You can't be in the presence of God. One lie. One lie. You know, a man says to his wife, where did you get those shoes? There was a tactic my wife was taught when I got married. She was taught, buy two pairs. The first week you're going to get shouted at about the first one. The second week when you wear the other pair and your husband shouting at you about those shoes, you say, no, but you shouted at me last week. The moment a wife does that, hell, it's over. It's over. Okay, no, but it's just a little white lie. White lies send you to hell, just like black lies. It's not just black lies that matter. White lies also matter. You understand what I'm saying? All right? So, we all finished. But because of the blood of Jesus, we read in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, while we were lying, He died for us. Much more, having now been justified by His blood, shall we be saved from the wrath of God through Him. So, because of this justification, we are free from all guilt. God has made it as if we've never sinned. By the blood of Jesus, I have been justified, and God sees me as though I had never sinned. That's what we confess. And then the last one, by the blood of Jesus, I am sanctified. The Hebrew name is Jehovah Makadesh. That's the God who sanctifies. And what does the word sanctify mean? It means you're set apart for a specific purpose, and it relates to you being made holy. When are you holy? When everything you do is in accordance with the purposes of God. When you're married according to the purposes of God. When you're a parent according to the purposes of God. When you walk according to the purposes of God. Where everything that you do is according to the purposes of God. And Hebrews 13 verse 12 says, therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So Jesus sanctifies us through his own blood. You're set apart. You're special. You're special. You're so special. Specifically set apart for the purpose of God. What does this mean? Because he's redeemed us, we're in a new kingdom. Our lives belong to God, and we are set apart to do the work of the ministry. I'm set free. You know, without the blood of Jesus, I can't do the work of the ministry. It's tainted by sin. But now I can do it because I'm clean. I'm sanctified, which means God's making me holy. Now, 1 Peter 5 verse 8 gives us a warning. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks around like a roaring lion, seeking him he may devour. You've got to confess this every day over your life. These five confessions.
Christ music is hot music. Yeah, I am the volume.
Let's just say I heard the truth.